Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide its face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Worship music of Hillsong, Cornerstone, right here on the cross in the desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. Good morning, Internet world. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, so very glad that you've taken time out of your busy schedule to join me on the broadcast today. Today, I want to talk about the unjust imprisonment of a tremendous person. Her name is Nazreen Satouda. She is a human rights lawyer in Iran, and she is jailed in Iran for defending the human rights of Iranians. But this is what this evil regime does all the time. They have sentenced her to 34 years in prison for defending human rights and also 180 public lashes. This is how people in Iran are treated. Nazreen Satouda is a very unique individual, and I'm going to read to you a short bio about her. This was written just recently by my dear friend Manoush, who, by the way, is recovering from a tough case of the flu. Please send your prayers her way. Nazreen Satouda, well, Iran is one of the world's most dangerous places to be an activist. I think you know that. And no one knows that better than Nazreen Satouda. The country's most prominent human rights defender has spent her life speaking truth to power at enormous personal cost. A 2010 conviction of, quote, conspiring against state security put her in prison for 3 years. Most of those years were spent in solitary confinement, and she endured two life-threatening protest hunger strikes also while in prison. Now, just this past June, Nazreen, who's now 55, was once again pulled abruptly from her home, told she had been convicted in absentia of national security offenses, and returned promptly to jail. Amnesty International, who follows her case, said that this arrest, quote, is an outrage. Now, a little bit about Nazreen's past. Nazreen was raised in a middle-class Tehran family, and she came to activism at a young age. She first worked as a journalist for the reformist newspapers. In 23, when she received her law license in 2003, she joined the Center for the Defense of Human Rights, which offered pro bono representation to political prisoners and the Society for the Protection of the Rights of Children. She defended children held on death row at that time, although, by the way, it's illegal under international law to execute those under 18. Some 73 children, in defiance of this law, have been put to death in Iran between the years of 2005 and 2015. She actively campaigned against the death penalty against the juveniles. She was also a signatory to the campaign for 1 million signatures, which called for the elimination of laws discriminating against women and defended many of its members when they were arrested. She stood up as well for those arrested in a state crackdown after Iran's disputed 2009 election that brought Mahmoud Ahmadinejad back to power. And you remember those tests in 2009. Way back in 1994, she married Reza Kanedin, who was a graphic artist. She described Reza, her current husband, as truly a modern man. And through that marriage, they've had two children. When she was arrested in 2008, authorities imposed a travel ban on her daughter, who was then 12, and she and Nazreen's toddler son were allowed to see her mother only from behind a glass screen. When Nazreen refused to wear a required full-length chador, the visits were cut off entirely. Now, in 2013, Nazreen was released early by newly elected President Hassan Rouhani, which was a show of good faith for the international community. Now, after that release in 2013, she was forbidden to practice law. But Nazreen continued to speak out, saying, "I was released, but I was not freed." And then back in February, a group of Tehran women removed their hijabs in a street protest and were charged with violating public decency and encouraging immorality or prostitution. Nazreen, of course, stepped in to defend what she called a civil disobedience movement. She defended the girls, or the activists of Revolution Street. Her latest arrest has come not long after she announced a plan for a sit-in protest of a new government rule to restrict the right of dissidents to hire independent lawyers, which she called this act by the government, quote, a farewell to the right of defense. So what we are looking at here is an unjust imprisonment of a very respected, worldwide respected human rights lawyer. In our book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, I have written extensively on Nazreen. And when I think of Nazreen, a Bible verse immediately comes to my mind. Proverbs 31, verses 8 through 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the right of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. The Bible exhorts us to be a voice for the voiceless, to stand up and to defend the helpless and the oppressed. Whenever I'm meditating on this scripture, I immediately think of Nazreen Satuta. She is a champion for human rights. She represents the women who remove their veils and cry out for choice. She represents the families of juveniles who are put to death, and she represents the millions of desperate activists who are in prison for standing up to a dictatorship government for freedom of speech and religion. And this recent arrest tied to the fact that she represented the girls of Revolution Street who were standing up for the freedom of women in Iran during the uprisings that started in December of 2017. There are so many things I could say about Nazreen. And the United States State Department, in response to her recent arrest, had this to say about Nazreen. We applaud Ms. Satuta's bravery and her fight for lifelong suffering victims of the regime. We call on Iranian authorities to release her immediately, along with the hundreds of others who are in prison simply for expressing their views and desires for a better life. While suffering in prison, Nazreen wrote an intimate and personal letter to her husband, Reza, once again demonstrating her love and compassion for the hurting Iranians. She writes, "My dear Reza, everyone ponders about their freedom while in prison. Although my freedom is also important to me, it is not more important than the justice that has been ignored and denied." Nazreen is a glowing example of compassion for the voiceless. She is more committed to their freedom than her own. She truly is a symbol of hope and healing for the Iranian people. I was thinking about the injustice of this arrest, and Psalm 10 came to my mind. In the Passion Translation, it is a beautiful lament and a cry to God for this injustice. And what I want to do is take just a couple of minutes to read this beautiful psalm to you, to listen, and also dedicate this psalm to Nazreen and all imprisoned political prisoners. It's a cry of lament to God. "Lord, you seem so far away when evil is near. Why do you stand so far off as though you don't care? Why have you hidden yourself when I need you the most? The arrogant in their elitist pride persecute the poor and helpless. May you pour out upon them the very evil that they've planned against others. How they brag and boast of their cravings, exalting the greedy. They congratulate themselves as they despise you. They're arrogant, so smug and so secure in their delusion, the wicked boast, saying, 'God doesn't care about what we do. There's nothing to worry about. Our wealth will last a lifetime.' So seemingly successful are they in their schemes, prosperous in all their plans, and scoffing at any restraint. They boast that neither God nor men will bring them down. They sneer at all their enemies, saying in their hearts, 'We'll have success in all we do and never have to face trouble,' never realizing that they are speaking this in vain. Their mouth spout out cursing, lies, and threats. Only trouble and turmoil come from all their plans. Like beasts lurking in the shadows of the city, they crouch silently in ambush for the people to pass by. Pouncing on the poor, they catch them in their snare to murder their prey in secret. They plunder their victims, presuming them all as inferior. They'll crush the lowly as they fall beneath their brutal blows, watching their victims collapse in defeat. Then they say to themselves, 'The lofty one is not watching while we do this. He doesn't even care. We can get away with it. Now is the time to arise, Lord. Crush them once and for all. Don't forget the forgotten and the helpless. How dare the wicked think they'll escape judgment, believing that you would not call them to account for all of their ways. Don't let the wicked get away with their contempt of you. Lord, I know you see all that they're doing, noting their each and every deed. You know the trouble and turmoil they've caused. Now punish them thoroughly for all that they've done. The poor and the helpless ones trust in you, Lord, for you are famous for being the helper of the fatherless. I know you won't let them down. Break the power of the wicked and all their strong-arm tactics. Search them out and destroy them and for the evil things they've done. You, Lord, are king forever and ever. You will see to it that the nations perish from your land. Lord, you know and understand all the hopes of the humble and will hear their cries and comfort their hearts, helping them all. The orphans and the oppressed will be terrified no longer, for you will bring them swift justice and no one will trouble them." This is a cry for justice. It's a cry of lament to the Lord for the injustice that is happening in Iran, especially to Nazreen Satuta and also to this precious saint. Her name is someone you would probably know, Leah Sherabu. I want to tell you a little bit about Leah. Leah is a victim of Boko Haram in Nigeria. Boko Haram is a jihadist group, an extreme Muslim jihadist group, and it targets the northern states of Nigeria. They had kidnapped over 100 girls last February and kept them hostage. One of those girls was Leah Sherabu. However, those kidnapped girls have been released except Leah Sherabu. I want you to hear recently how her mother is crying out for this committed Christian's release, her daughter. They have tried and tried to force Leah to renounce her faith, but Leah refuses to do so. I want you to hear this special report.
Meanwhile, the family of the abducted schoolgirl has once again appealed to the federal government to do everything possible to rescue the teenager from Boko Haram captivity. They made the call at a press briefing in Abuja. 15-year-old Leah has spent almost a year in captivity after she refused to denounce her faith as demanded by the sect. Anetta Felix has that story.
It was meant to be a media briefing to appeal to the Nigerian government to hasten the release of Leah Sherabu, but it turned out to be an emotional gathering. Speaking through an interpreter, Leah's mother asked the government to remember Leah and the promises he made to rescue her.
She has just called on the government to please keep their promises. They made promises to her through the call that President Buhari made to her, and also through the high-profile delegation he sent to Dapchi, who reassured her that Leah will be out. That whenever you make a promise, the best thing to do is to keep that promise. And that is why she's crying and asking the government to fulfill the promise that they made to the family.
Leah Sherabu was among 110 girls who were kidnapped by Boko Haram terrorists on February 19, 2018, from Government Girls Science and Technology College in Dapchi, Yobe State. When most of them were released a month later on March 21, 2018, Leah Sherabu was left behind on the basis of her Christian faith.
We as a family decided to call for the press briefing to please ask everyone not to forget Leah, because Leah is still in captivity. And that is why we said we will want to please call on every well-meaning person in Nigeria, and not just Nigeria, the entire world, to please not forget Leah, because in less than 8 days now, she will be 1 year if she is not released before then.
I am here today because Leah's bravery has impacted me greatly. We might forget about Leah sometimes as we get busy in our life, but Leah is not and never meant to be forgotten in any way. We need to remember her. And I am here to also remind us to petition God, to ask Him to be with her wherever she is, and to be so close to her and show Him His strong love.
Leah's story is an incredible example of standing up for your faith, and she did this even in the face of captivity and danger. When she was asked to renounce Christ, she refused. And that bravery and integrity is what has inspired the Leah Foundation to be advocating for girls like Leah and empowering them today.
Leah Sherabu is a heroine. Leah Sherabu represents the best of what Nigeria should be. A young girl at the age of 14 to stand up for her Christian faith and conviction without fear. Leah today is in captivity because of her commitment to what is right.
It's almost 365 days now that Leah has been held prisoner by Boko Haram, and despite rumors of her death, the federal government says Leah is alive and well, and they are doing all they can to rescue her. The government has made promises like this many times before, but with so much time lost, her parents can only hold on to their faith, just like Leah. Annette Felix, TV360.
I cannot even imagine how a 14-year-old girl who's now 15 can endure such a nightmare. Think of yourself when you were 14. This is a 14-year-old girl who loves Christ, who was snatched away with 100 other girls, this terrorist, jihadist, extremist group in Nigeria. And they were going to marry all these girls, corrupt them, destroy their Christian faith. And by the grace of God, everyone but Leah was released, and she has remained in captivity. She turned 15 years old while in captivity. And they are doing everything they can to force her to renounce her faith. Just last Friday program, I talked about women's rights on International Women's Day. And if there was ever a poster child for that day, one of those children would have to be Leah Sherebou. Again, think about how young she is. And yet she is defying this group and remaining steadfast and strong, holding on to her faith in Christ. And Jesus said to his disciples, when they ask about the end times, one of the answers Jesus, excuse me about that, is sneezing this morning. They were asking about the end times in Luke chapter 21. And Jesus talked about the signs of his coming, but he focused on how they were to behave when they were arrested and brought before kings and governors. He says, do not worry about what you're going to say at that time, because the Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, will give you the courage and the words to say that your adversaries will not be able to refute. This promise is to every Christian in the church. And when I think of what Jesus said, I think of Leah. He has given Leah incredible strength, endurance, and words as she faces her interrogators, words that they cannot refute. You may ask, for someone that is a skeptic that perhaps is listening, what is it about Jesus that is so attractive that this young 15-year-old girl refuses to deny? To every former Muslim in the Muslim world, Jesus is a symbol of hope and freedom, forgiveness. Every Muslim in the Islamic world is working hard through fasting and praying and being obedient, doing the best they can with hopes that on Judgment Day, Allah will let them into paradise. But Jesus says to anyone who believes in his name, who trusts in him alone, he says, you will pass out of death into life and will not come into the judgment. Jesus promises complete pardon and forgiveness of all of our sins, past, present, and future. He has the very words of eternal life. And he is a God of absolute unconditional love and forgiveness. Leah knows that. Leah knows that there is no hope for her or anyone outside of Jesus. Jesus is the hope for the world. And so what I want us to do this morning is two things. Number one, I want us to pray for both Nazreen and Leah. On my Facebook page, if you scroll down, there is a petition to sign, to speak out for Nazreen's freedom. I take those petitions very seriously. They do make a difference in the lives of the imprisoned. And as for Leah, there is a video of her story up on my Praying for the Persecuted Church page. I want you to go to that page, click on the link, and read about and listen and watch this important story about Leah, and pray that God will keep her strong and faithful during this captivity, that he will use Leah to speak truth to this Nigerian Islamic sect, that her words will penetrate their hardened hearts, and they will come to faith in Christ. They will see that this young girl is a shining example of grace and love and truth. I believe with all my heart that God is using Leah in a very mighty, powerful way in captivity. And our responsibility is to stand up for our sister, to stand behind her, and to pray for her freedom, to pray that her words will make a difference in the lives of these captors who are dedicated to Islam, and that Leah's testimony as a Christian will penetrate their hardened hearts for the gospel. And so please speak truth and pray for Nazreen and Leah. They need our thoughts, our prayers. God will bring justice and freedom to the oppressed. I know he will. But it's our responsibility to be a voice for these voiceless people, for both Nazreen and Leah. And God bless you for taking the time to do that. God will bless and reward you for your love and prayers for these two incredible people that need our prayers right now in this evil world. I want to say God bless you, and thank you everyone for listening this morning, and join me this Thursday as I continue my Bible teaching on the Beatitudes. Have a great week. I will see you Thursday again on the cross in the desert.
My hope is built nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Love.
Lord.